Good morning. My name is Brian Davis, and I'm the lead pastor at Fairlawn Nazarene Church, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today to worship with us at Church Online. And wherever you are, wherever you're gathering, either with family or maybe you're watching this alone and by yourself, we are one today because even though we're scattered out in many different places today, we still come together and rally around this time that we have to spend in God's word, to pray together, to worship together. So I just really hope today that you'll engage in the next 45 minutes or so, and that you'll really allow God to speak and work and move in your life today. Will you bow your heads this morning? And let me pray. Father, we're just so grateful and thankful for who you are and for the fact that you love us and you care for us. And today, as we gathered as a church that's scattered, I pray, God, that you would be in every home, in every place that this is viewed. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will speak. And I pray, Lord, today that as we join our hearts and minds together through the medium of online church, that God will see you do some incredible things in our lives. Encourage us today, uplift us, change us, we pray, for we ask it in your name. Amen. Let's worship together with one of my favorite songs, Build Your Kingdom Here.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil how we are made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come and lead us now. We are your church. We need your power.
Pastor Nicole, and I hope you can get your Bible app out or maybe your physical Bible and read the word with me as I read it to you this morning. The verse today is Psalm 128, And it says, it seems like a dream, too good to be true. When God returned Zion's exile, we laughed, we sang, we couldn't believe our good fortune. We were the talk of the nation, and God was wonderful to them. God was wonderful to us. We are one happy people. And now, God, do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives, so those who planted the crops in despair will shout hurrahs at the harvest. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessing.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd word will come to pass.
Why don't you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this time that we've had to worship together, to be together, to pray with one another. God, I thank you for this time that we have gotten to spend a little bit more time, maybe with our families, a little bit more time being secluded, being closer to you and to your heart without all of the distractions. But God, throughout this time that there are good, there are also difficulties with this virus that's happening. We're praying, God, for these first responders, for the people that are in the hospitals, the people that are on the front lines with this, that they would be safe. God, that they would have all of the necessary equipment that they need, and that they would see positiveness through this, that they would be positivity through this, God. Whoever they come into contact, that they would show your love and show that you are still working, God, because we still believe that you can do anything, that you can do it again and again, God, that you can show up again and again throughout any sort of sickness, throughout any sort of darkness, throughout any sort of trials and tribulations, God, that you can do what you say you're going to do because you've promised it. So God, we pray for today. We pray for this time as we are here. We pray for our families. We pray for our church, God, that we would feel connected not only to each other, but to you. And that that would be our focus, Lord, getting back to you, getting back to reconnecting with you. And that through this time, we would see the blessing because you are true and you are good and you are constant. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
I want you to remember that God's created everything you see. He breathed it into existence. You remember when his people were caught up in slavery? He rescued them. What he did was he parted the sea and he made a way for them, and then he delivered their enemies to them, and he unlocks wombs and he provides water from a rock and he provides manna from heaven and he brought down the walls of Jericho. He froze the sun, allowing victory. He's toppled giants with tiny stones. He's brought fire from heaven. He shut the mouths of lions. He preserved life in the belly of a well. He's fed thousands with a few loaves. He gives the weak strength. He heals the sick. He's made the blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the lame walk, and he's overcome evil, and he's made a way through death for you and me by the death and the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, that we will live with him forever. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. What are we afraid of? His resume is flawless. He controls everything. And he loves you.
I really like that video because it reminds me that in these changing times in which we live, where every day we are faced with a new virus count, the number of people who've caught it, or the number of people who've died, or just changing job situations, it's good to know that God doesn't change, that God's the same yesterday, today, forever, and that everything that he's done for you and I, it's still very valid and very real. And I hope you'll be encouraged by that. When I got out of high school, I wanted to be an architect. And I remember in my junior high art class that I took, we were taught that there was a certain order by which one paints or draws. When you paint from the back forward towards you. You paint the background and then the foreground. When you draw from the front to the back. You start with the main subject, and then you later develop the larger world around it. I find in these days that many of us live our lives as though our life was a drawing rather than a painting. In other words, many of us get so focused on the foreground of our life that we have a hard time seeing the background. We start with what's right in front of us, what's right in our face, and we allow that to kind of inform the way we see the rest of life. Instead of looking at life from a long-term perspective, we then tend to focus on just what's right there. We draw our lives rather than paint them. But when you live your life like a painting, you stay focused on the background first. In other words, you focus on where you're going rather than on the obstacles to getting there. You let the background inform you and tell you how to deal with the foreground, so that rather than focus on the troubles that are right in front of you, the obstacles that are right in your face, the struggles that are just right there, you see that there's something beyond that. You see that there's something larger going on than what is right in your face. When Jesus creates our lives as followers, he paints. He doesn't draw. And by that, I mean, he starts with the background, not the foreground. He paints this larger picture of where we are going, of what lies beyond what's right in front of us, of what lies beyond the obstacle that we're struggling through, that we have to overcome. He constantly tells us to look beyond because he's painting a picture of our whole life, of eternity, and not just what we have in front of us that's attempting to overwhelm us. We're in this series called Fear Not, and it's important, I think, for the times we live in, because as we've been socially, you know, distancing ourselves from one another, many of us have become very isolated in our homes. We're all trying to do our best to do our part for our neighbors. We're staying, you know, confined to our home and fighting the spread of the coronavirus. But in the midst of all that, it's created a lot of fear. Grocery shelves have been wiped clean. Businesses have closed. People have lost their jobs. I mean, just this last week, there were over 3 million new jobless claims in the United States. And it's easy in times like these to let fear and doubt and worry overtake us. It's easy to live in anxiety, worried about today or tomorrow or next week. It's easy to let the foreground, the thing that's right here in our face, the obstacles in our life, overwhelm us and cause us to be anxious and cause us to worry. To keep us from being overcome, I believe God wants us to have a bigger perspective, to focus on the long term, to look beyond the foreground and to see what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do in the larger picture of our life. He wants us to see beyond the obstacles that are right in front of us and keep our eyes focused on what he's doing right now. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And beginning in verse 25, this is what Jesus says. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Jesus tells us three times in this passage not to worry, not to be anxious. And I wish it were as easy then as just being commanded to stop and you stop. But the question I often have when I'm tempted to worry or I begin to be anxious is, how? How do I stop this? How do I not worry? How do I not be anxious, Jesus, in the times and the days that we live in? What spiritual vaccine can we take to keep from being overwhelmed in these days? Because it's one thing to say I'm not going to be anxious. It's one thing to say I'm not going to be worried. But it is a whole other thing to live in that. I noticed that each time Jesus said for us not to worry, it's preceded by the word therefore. In verse 25, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life." And then verse 34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow." And then in verse 31, the NIV translates the word that's translated therefore in verse 34 as "so," but it means the same thing. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?'" I was taught that every time in the Bible where you see a therefore, you have to look in front of it because it, what therefore says is that what I just said, because of what I just said, here's what I want you to do. So you look before the therefore to find the what for. Did you get all that? The great thing about technology is you could play this back again and go over that again. But the idea is that Jesus is saying there's some reasons for you not to worry. And not just there's some reasons. He's telling us that there are some tools that we have. He's telling us this is how you don't worry. He's telling us this is how not to be anxious. And so I want to look at those three places where he tells us not to worry and what tools Jesus gives us in order to fight off anxiety in our lives. So the first one is, the first tool that he puts in our hand is to store up your treasure in heaven. Store your treasure in heaven. That can be an enormous tool to fighting off anxiety. So right before Matthew 6:19, where he says, therefore do not worry, he says this in verses 19 through 21, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And then verse 25, therefore, based on what I just said, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. You know, this week, the stock market has just been up and down and all over the place. People are losing their jobs and going through difficult times. I think if you're retired, you're probably doing what I did. My first thought when I saw the stock market this week was that, I'm going to have to work 10 more years. I started to get a little bit worried about my life down the road because of what's happening today. And maybe you're that. Maybe you're worried about right now. Maybe you've been laid off because of what's going on. And you worry about how you're going to be able to put food on your table. How you're going to pay your bills. How you're going to get by. Maybe you already are in retirement. And you're concerned about how you're going to make it and the impact that all of this has had on your retirement. Maybe it's not just financial, but you're concerned at a time when people are hoarding and storing up for themselves canned goods and ammo and toilet paper, that you'll worry about having the needs for your life, for your family. Jesus said to look beyond the foreground and keep focused on the background. You want a tool to combat worry and anxiety in your life? Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. For you see, everything that's being hoarded now, everything that's being hard to find, everything that we're worried, these are temporary things. These are earthly things. He says, be concerned about putting away, investing in heavenly treasures. Well, what are treasures in heaven? How do you invest in heavenly currency? Because as far as I know, there are no financial institutions in heaven. Well, I think one of the things that one of the things he's telling us to invest in is you can look around at the Sermon on the Mount and see some things that Jesus said. I believe that we should invest in the kingdom right here. I believe in supporting financially the work of the church and tithing and those things. But when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, he broadens that out. Treasures in heaven are loving your enemy. Treasures in heaven are praying in secret. And when he says, when Jesus talks about praying in secret, he's talking about not praying for show. He's talking about praying for need and praying for others and lifting people up. That's storing up treasures in heaven. It's faithfully enduring persecution. When I think of heavenly treasure, I also think of like the fruit of the Spirit, that we're not only supposed to produce it, but we are to give it and show it to others. So when I think of what storing up treasures in heaven, I think of showing love to my neighbor, to my enemy. I think of joy. I think of peace, patience, kindness, goodness, that the more of those things that I produce, those are storing up heavenly treasure. When we exude faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, I think we're making a heavenly investment in the lives of others. So when Jesus says, therefore, do not worry or be anxious, how? You fight off the anxiousness and the worry by focusing on what you're storing up in heaven, not hoarding the things that are here on earth. Another tool to keep us from being anxious is that we focus on God's care of the world. Jesus says in verse 31, "So," or "therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" And the reason that he said, you know, how do we do that, Jesus? Well, right before this, he gives examples of how God takes care of the world around us. He says, look at how God takes care of the birds. They don't sow or reap or hoard food in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them anyway. And aren't you more valuable than that? Don't you know that he cares even more for you than the birds flying around outside? Worry and being anxious doesn't do a bit of good. It doesn't add one moment to your life. And a matter of fact, you know as well as I do that worry often steals from us. So he says, don't worry about what you'll wear. Look at the flowers. They don't labor or work, but God clothes them beautifully. And if God cares for flowers that will bloom today and die tomorrow, how much more will he take care of you? So don't worry about that. I mean, that's what the world does. The culture around us is worried about those things. But you're different because you look beyond the things that are right in front of you and you see the big picture that says God will take care of you because God takes care of the world. Look how he feeds the birds and he clothes the flowers. Won't he feed and clothe me too? What a great thought to latch on to. Fight worry and anxiety by focusing on how God cares for the world. I find that often we miss his provision in our life because we get our needs mixed up with our wants and our necessities mixed up with our preferences. For instance, you may know about my concern in finding toilet paper. And so let me say, I appreciate all the texts and the phone calls and the emails. I think we're good now. And I appreciate how concerned you were about my fear of running out of toilet paper. But here's one thing I've learned. I never knew I was such a Charmin snob. You know, I mean, a lot of us, aren't we having to use brands we've never used before because the shelves of the stores are bare? I mean, I was in a store last week that had toilet paper, but it was an off-brand, and you could buy only one, and there were only four rolls. Right? So I'm used to getting the super soft two-ply Charmin 18 mega rolls that are like 72 regular rolls, right? I don't know how they came up with that gimmick, but it's great. Anyway, and so here I was, this off-brand of, you know, one-ply toilet paper that looked like mini rolls, right? I think the brand, it was some off-brand, I don't know, scratchy, itchy toilet paper, I don't know. But I didn't buy it. You know, I wanted my two-ply super soft mega rolls, but all God was providing was my one-ply itchy, scratchy mini rolls. And I just didn't do it. My wife's gotten in on this. She's not immune to it. We were in the store a couple of weeks ago when all the hoarding began, and we were looking for green beans, a can of green beans, and there was one can of green beans in all of Dillon's. My wife picked it up and looked at it, and she put it back on the shelf. And I said, "Why aren't you getting those green beans?" I said, "You know, we need green beans." And she said, "Well, they were no salt green beans." I said, "Woman, I will sprinkle salt on them. I have salt at home. We want green beans." We went home without green beans. I think sometimes what we need to do to fight worry in our life is to let God meet our need however he wants. If it's one ply rather than two ply, it's still toilet paper, Brian. If it's green beans, no salt or not, it's still green beans. Jesus says that our Father knows what you need. And whether he supplies with our brand or not, the way we want it or expect it to happen, we need to trust that he knows what we need and he's going to take care of it. You know, if you're a parent, you get this, right? If we let a child pick what they wanted to eat, every meal would be ice cream, M&Ms, and cookies, right? And they would be unhealthy and have very rotten teeth. As parents, we know what they need to grow healthy and strong. And so that's what we give them. And even though they may not like our menu, we're responsible to take care of them the right way. Jesus said that God knows what you need. He knows what you need. He doesn't just know that we have a need, but he knows how to meet that need. And if he can take care of the birds, if he can take care of the flowers, doesn't he know how to take care of you too? And so some of his help in these days may look different than what you wanted, or what you think you needed, but we have to trust our Heavenly Father. That's the way we fight off and combat anxiety and worry. You store up treasure in heaven. You keep focused on that. You look at how God cares for the world, and you trust Him to take care of you. And then lastly, we seek first His kingdom. Let me read again verses 33 and 34. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. That word seek means to crave something, to be totally focused. I promised a children's sermon this week. I want to show the kids, I want to show you an illustration of how this works for us to seek first the kingdom of God. So I have here some balls, and I have here some popcorn. The popcorn just represents, you know, just normal everyday stuff in life, okay? And so, you know, this is just life. These are activities of life, these things, you know, maybe like playing outside, like maybe having a good time, those things. The balls represent the really important stuff. The things that really matter, okay? And so each of these balls are like really important things you got to do every day. Well, here's the thing. If you fill your life with trivial stuff, you know, video games all the time, or just, you know, things you like to do, draw, watch TV, maybe you've been watching all this stuff on Netflix. If you fill your life with all of that stuff first, then it makes it hard sometimes to get all the things that really matter in life in, you know? Things like praying and having your devotions with your parents maybe, or, you know, or maybe it's like being kind to somebody, loving on somebody, letting somebody else know that you care about them. Might be, I met your parents, like for you to clean your room. Could be all those things. And all of a sudden, because we filled our life with all these other trivial things, we don't have room. Look at that. For all the things that really matter, we can't get them all in. But when we reorder our life, when we decide that rather than put in the most important things last, rather than us, you know, spending our time first and foremost playing video games than we do reading God's word or doing the things that our parents ask us to do, when we just do the things that we do. Instead, if we would do the things our parents ask us to do, if we would read our Bible and we would have our devotions and pray and talk to God, if we made those the most important things that we did every day, oh, there's the cleaning the room ball right there, then we'd have room for all of those things. And guess what? All that other stuff that we enjoy doing, video games, playing outside, playing with our friends, going next door to Johnny's, riding our bike. All of a sudden, look at that. When we put the most important things first, when we put the things of God, when we put the things that our parents want first, and our stuff that we like second, the stuff that's not as important, all of a sudden, we're able to fit everything in. And that's part of what it means whenever it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It means for you and I that if we pursue the things of God first and foremost, that if we'll go after the things that God wants, and that if we'll pursue what He tells us is important, well, all of a sudden, life changes. All of a sudden, when we make His priorities our priorities, all of a sudden, we can fit everything else in. That's why it says all these other things will be added unto you. All this other stuff will come around to you. All this other stuff will get taken care of when you put Him first. And that's what Jesus was saying. When we put Him first, when we seek His kingdom first, when we reprioritize our life around His priorities, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. That seeking after Him, craving after the things of God, being totally focused on God and living for Him, all this other stuff's going to take care of itself. And when I was a kid, I learned to ride. Not long after I learned to ride a bike, I was coming down the street. I was coming home, and there was a car. I was on the right side of the road, and there was a car coming up to my left, and I got real distracted. I was only about 4 or 5, and I didn't want to get run over, and so I was really distracted looking over my shoulder as the car was coming. And what I failed to do was I wasn't paying attention to what was in front of me. And so sure enough, my neighbor had parked his car out in the street. And I was so busy looking at the car that was moving that I didn't see the one that was parked right in front of me. And I crashed right into it, man. I mean, I smacked it hard. My head, I went face first into the trunk of the car, you know, the trunk lid. My bike went into the fender, and I busted my lip. I felt like I knocked out a tooth. I had a big old bruise down my face. And so my house was only a couple of more doors down, and so I just left my bike there, and I ran home. I charged into the kitchen, and I told my mom. I was crying. I was sobbing. I was bleeding. And my mom said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I hit a parked car with my bike." Now, I expected my mom to say something like, "Oh, sweetie, are you okay? You poor thing. Let's wash off your lip. Poor child, that must have been scary." Is that what she said? No. You know what she said? "You didn't hurt the parked car, did you?" And then she rushed past me to go check out the neighbor's beat-up Ford. Too often in life, we get distracted. And that's what happens. That's where fear and anxiety live, man. That's where fear and anxiety take root, is that when we take our eyes off him and we get distracted by something around us, by seeking something other than the kingdom and right living, then all of a sudden worry begins to set in and anxiety begins to set in. And Jesus is saying, if you keep your eyes on me, you want to fight worry? Seek first and foremost, above all, his kingdom and right living. Keep your eyes fixed on me. Don't let the distractions consume you or steal your focus. Turn off the news. Spend some time in his word. Listen to some worship music. Pray for your neighbors, for your church, your family. If you seek him first, all these other things will be given to you by him. Let me close with this. I don't know if you know the story of Thomas Obadiah Chisholm. He was born in the mid-1800s, and at a very early age, he struggled with debilitating health concerns. His impaired health just really affected everything that he did, and it caused him to fail at most everything that he tried, except for one thing. Thomas was a Christian who loved to write poetry. And so one day, in the midst of the ever-changing, disappointing, obstacle-filled foreground of his life, he sat down and he wrote a poem about the faithfulness of God, the background of his life, the bigger picture. It was a simple poem, penned in faith, that's now sung all over the world, and it's probably one of your favorite hymns, one of mine, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And he says in the course of that, "Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." I wish that every one of you could sing that today as your testimony. Remember, eternity is long and life is short. Don't interpret life through the troubles that we're in right now, through the foreground, through the stuff that's right in your face. Don't let what's in your face cause you to be worried or filled with anxiety. Let the background, let the larger picture of what God is doing, of who he is and how faithful he is to keep us, let that keep the worry and anxiety off your heart. Focus on storing your treasure in heaven, not here. This world will pass away. Focus on God's care of the world. If he takes that much care for the birds and the flowers, how much more is he capable of caring for you? And seek his kingdom first. Keep your eyes fixed on him. And if you will, you will find that all you have needed, his hand hath provided. You will find that he is a faithful God and that he will get us through these times that we're in if we'll just trust in him and lean on him. Will you bow your head and pray with me? Father, we are so glad today for your faithfulness, that in this ever-changing world, you are unchanging. That even though everything around us may be chaotic, you are steady and true. That even though everything around us may be moving, You're the solid rock on which we can stand in the storms of life. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. I pray, Lord, for that one today who's listening, whose heart is full of trouble, full of worry, and full of anxiety. I pray right now that you would help them to cast all their anxiety upon you, to take their eyes, Father, off what they have or don't have here, and instead fix it on the treasure that's stored up for them in heaven. Help them, Father, to continue to love. Help them to continue to give, to forgive, that the fruit of the Spirit might be produced in their life in such a way that, God, it would chase away all the anxiousness, because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. God, I pray that you would help each one of us to look around at the world that we live in and be reminded again that if you're able to take care of the birds and the flowers, that truly you can take care of me. You can take care of my needs today and my needs tomorrow. You've got me, Father. Your hand, it upholds me, it uplifts me. And I know today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're meeting my needs and you're going to take care of me. Father, help us today to take our eyes off the world and instead to put them on you, to seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, to seek first to live rightly, knowing that all these other things that we need will be added. You'll just like the illustration of the jar, that if we'll put you first, you'll take care of all the other things that we need. You know that we need them. And Father, you care for us. So help us to put our trust in you and continue to keep our eyes fixed on you. And Lord, I pray for that one who maybe today doesn't know you as Lord and Savior of their life, that today as they've listened and participated in this, they've felt a tug at their heart, that they would like to be worry-free and anxiety-free, that they would like to have a hope today in the midst of all this hopelessness. Father, I just pray that each person today who would say, I want Jesus in my life, I want to live a hope-filled, anxiety-less existence with God today, that I pray, God, you would help them to just ask you to come into their heart, into their life, to forgive them for their sins, to let what Jesus did on the cross count for them, and that today they could begin to follow you. They could begin to trust you, that as they ask you to forgive their sins, that, Father, they also make you the captain of their heart and their life, their king. I just pray to Lord today for each one who turns and repents and say, I want to follow Jesus, that today you'd help them start that journey one step at a time. God, we love you today. Watch over our world. Keep us, protect us, we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed this morning and maybe you have some stuff that you're really worried about, you can email us. You can go on we have a prayer request Facebook page, and you can put requests there, and we'll have people praying for you. I'll be praying for you. So you can, if you'll let us know, we'll help you pray as you combat the anxiety, as you can combat the worry in your life. If you need anything because of what's going on, you know, with the virus and those things, please let us know, and we'll do everything we can to help you. If today you prayed and you asked Christ into your heart and you're beginning to follow him, please let me know about that too as well. Email us and let us know, because I'd like to make some contact with you and help you on the start of your new journey. Offering, if tithing and giving, if there are three ways to do that now, still, you can drop it in the mail, or you can bring it to the post office box that we have here at our church. It's locked, and so it's safe and secure. You can give online, or you can text to the number that you see there. And all our online giving, electronic, and the texting is all extremely secure and safe. And so we just appreciate you supporting. The work of the church goes on. And so, and we give not because we're at a place, or not tipping because we've been served. We give, right? We give out of a sense of knowing that this is, God does something in our hearts and in our lives and in our world through our giving as he partners with us. And so I encourage you to do that today. The last thing this morning, before you go, as soon as I'm off of here, There's a video that we're going to play. It's Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And it's a group that I ran into a short time back, and they have a number of hymns that they do, and you can find out more about them on YouTube. But I want you, as they sing this song, maybe your family could sing it with them. Or at the very least, I just want you to listen to the words, and I just want you to let them bathe over your soul. Because in these times, we need to remember what we've talked about today, that He is faithful, and He will see us through, and He will meet every need that we have. We're not going to give up. We're going to lean harder on Him. And in these days, He will meet our needs as we trust Him. I hope you have a great week, and we'll see you back here next week.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Join with the nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.